Joyce. I'm Ting Xu. I work for Liberty Mutual Research Institute for Safety. First, I want to acknowledge the contribution from my co-authors, including Santosh, Helen, Joanna, and Melanie. Okay. This is an aerial view of our institute, which is located about 25 miles from downtown Boston. And at the institute, we do independent scientific work, most of which are published in premier scientific journals. I don't have anything to disclose. Okay. So first is the motivation. Why do we care about this topic? Why do we want to estimate the injury rate for different activities? Because no activities in our daily life are really immune from injuries. When I was working in this room, I might be tripped by a cable on the ground. When I was driving here, I might be hit by a truck from behind. So we don't really know. So and naturally, we want to quantify and compare the injury rate. And one of the most frequent measures that people use are rate. What is rate? It is simply defined as dividing the number of injuries by the exposure time. Okay, that's very straightforward and a very basic epidemiological measure. So sometimes we can estimate rate. For example, at the NHIS, National Health Interview Survey, it collects both the injury cases and the work hours, so it has the exposure time as well as the injury cases. And from that, we can estimate the injury rate for work-related injuries. But for most other activities, we can't do that. Why? Because very few national surveys have the capacity to document both. For example, we know we all got hurt or we all get injured when we do housework, and the NHIS have recorded a number of injuries resulting from housework or yard work, but it doesn't have exposure data for doing housework. So we cannot estimate injury rate due to doing housework if we are using only NHIS alone. So that's a great limitation when we try to quantify and compare the injury rates for different activities, because most surveys do not have the capacity to do to collect both injury cases and exposure time. Okay, but somehow some people doesn't feel that's a critical limitation. I'll give you the first example, the BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics. So they want to estimate fatal injury rate at work. And because no single surveys have recorded both the fatality at work and the exposure time at work. So what they did was they used one survey, CFOI, for workers' injury fatal cases, survey for fatal occupational injuries. Okay? And they used another survey, the current population survey, for work hours. And somehow they put the two together and get a rate for a fatal injury rate at work. And what they have seen is that a fatal rate has been trending down from 2006 to 2011 or 2013, indicating the workplace is getting safer and safer if measured by this measure. Okay. Okay. So that's an example that people use different data sources for the numerator and the denominator, which contract our intuition, which we should be using the same data sources for the numerator and the denominator in the calculation of rate. Okay. But in addition to the BOS, some other people are also using the same approach. They use different data sources, including some state agencies, I know. And also, I know this is a very common approach in the study of cancer mortality, such as this paper, which is one of the most influential papers on smoking and lung cancer, has been cited 400-something times. Okay. So how can they do this? Are they wrong? Are they crazy? And if not, why is that? Okay. And I'll explain something to you first and then let you be the judge. Okay. So think of it this way. We have a target population, the US adult in the year of 2010, and we want to estimate the sports injury rate of this population. And then let's first suppose that this population has been sampled twice. In the first survey, we get number of injuries within a certain period of time, and from that we can infer the total number of injuries resulting from sports in the year of 2010, right? And suppose this population has been sampled another time, about their time use within, say, a week, and from that we can infer or extrapolate to the number of the amount of time spent playing sport in the year of 2010. And if it is not clear to you, I hope this graph may help you understand what I'm saying. The gray area is the target universe. Yes, it's sample ones by this survey, and from that we get a total number of injuries resulting from sports. And another survey tells us the total number of playing sports in the same year. And because both of the surveys are drawn from the same population, so both of them describe some features of the same population, although individually. So, because they are from the same population, it makes sense to put them together to do some manipulation. And for example, if we divide y tilde by x tilde, we are actually dividing the number of cases of injuries resulting from sport by the hours spent playing sport in the year 2010. What is that? That is the sports injury rate, right? So the conceptually, it is not that difficult. As long as the two data sources can generalize to a certain population, sometimes it is okay to use one for the numerator and the other for the denominator for the rate calculation. And that's exactly how we did it. That's exactly how we calculate the rate for different activities. I will show you the result first, and then tell you the details. So we calculate the rate for five different activities, ranging from work, sports, doing housework, yard work, cooking, and driving, etc. And the vertical axis is the number of injuries per 100,000 hours. And because all the five rates are using the same metric for the denominator, we can compare the rate for one to the other. For example, it shows that sports injury rate is the highest. There are about 15 injuries per 100,000 hours exposure, whereas the work injury rate is much lower. Okay, that's the result. I just mentioned that I used two different data sources. For the numerators, the injury cases, we use the National Health Interview Survey. And for the denominator, we use the American Time Use Survey. Because both surveys are a complex survey, then to calculate the right mean and to calculate the right totals, you would have to use the appropriate sampling weights. And that's how we did it. Right? So this part is about the rate calculation, which is not difficult. The trickier part is how do we figure out variance. First, why do we need to do calculate variance? Because we want to make a statistical inference. Without variance, we don't have a standard errors, we cannot construct confidence interval, etc. So obtaining variance is critical if we want to do anything further beyond simply calculating the rate. The bad thing is that no existing software packages have a command for calculate the variance when the data sources are from different surveys. So we try to implement a procedure and calculate it by hand. The method we use is called the delta method. You may not be familiar with it, but if you have used a complex survey for your study, you must have been using it, because this method is the default approach for SAS data or Sudan when the data has complex survey design. Okay. So we work out the math in the main script, and I will just let you know the result. The delta method shows that the variance of the rate estimate R can be expressed, or actually can be approximated by a combination of X bar, Y bar, and the variance of X bar and the variance of Y bar, whereas the X bar is the average hours of exposure of this population, and the Y bar is the average number of injury cases for this population. And the VAR, X bar, VAR, and Y bar are the corresponding variance. Okay? So then what we did was we used data or SAS to calculate X bar, Y bar, variance of X bar, and variance of Y bar individually. We got four numbers, and we substitute these four numbers into the equation, and that's how we obtain the variance estimate for the rate. Okay. Okay. And here I just show you some result. We got rate, we got errors, which is the square root of variance, and based on the two, we construct a 95% confidence interval. Okay. Now with the 95% confidence interval, we can compare, for example, whether the sports injury rate is really higher than work rate, etc. Okay. So that's the technical side, and I want to discuss some of this implication. The first great thing about this approach is that we actually overcome some data limitation. Before this, we tend to think our intuition tells us that, if a survey does not have both the exposure data and the injury cases, then we cannot do much about it. But now we realize that if the two surveys can generalize to the same population, it might be okay to use them separately as the input for the numerator and the denominator in a rate in the calculation of rate. And this method can be, and once we overcome this limitation, this method can be potentially used to, for example, calculate, for example, the cooping injury rate for a specific subpopulation of this country. Or we can calculate a rate over time and see whether the injury rate is trending down or trending up, which may help us to design intervention policy. Okay. And another thing that I want to call for your attention is the when we remember in this measure, we explicitly use exposure time as our denominator. So our rate calculation takes into account the exposure time. And when we take into account exposure time, it gives us a very different injury landscape. Okay. I'll explain to you what I mean. So in the past, when we don't have exposure data, typically, people just divide the number of injury cases by population, which is constant. So that's what the graph on the left shows. So this graph basically shows that there are about 30 work injuries per 1,000 people. Okay, and there are about 25 injuries resulting from housework in this population. And this measure we call it rate per population. Okay. But because the population is a denominator, it doesn't have the exposure time. So this measure basically reflects the frequency count of different type of injuries. But when we take into account exposure time, that's a graph at the right. It tells us a very different story. For example, the graph at the right, that's what the approach tells us. It shows that sports is actually a much more high rate than work. And the second highest is actually housework injuries. Okay? So remember that the two approach are they have different purposes. There is nothing wrong for either of them. But my story is that when we use them, we have to be very careful about what they are about. If our purpose is to focus on the total counts, then we use the one on the left, number of population. And if our purpose is to understand how many injuries there will be per hour of exposure, then we should be using the one at the right. Okay. So the last implication is that there's a risk in over-interpreting the rate measure. While the rate measure is great, we can use the same. We take this rate measure takes into account exposure time, etc. We can compare rate of injuries. Okay. But we wouldn't want to over-interpret this result. For example, this graph shows that sports injuries is nearly five times higher. The rate of sports injury is nearly five times higher than work injuries. But then does this mean that sports injury is very serious and that we don't need to care about work injuries at all? I don't want you to overinterpret this, because even the activities that have very low injury per hours, it could still be a very important public health problem. Why is that? Take the work injuries, for example. There are still much more work injuries than sports injury. In fact, the work injuries outnumbered by sport injury by a factor of two. Why is that? Because people still spend much more time working than sport, typically. And because of more exposure, there are still much more workplace injuries than sports injury. So the upshot is that while the rate calculation is straightforward, it can tell us a lot of things. It can overcome some limitation. An activity that has a very low rate does not necessarily mean that it doesn't have a public health significance. So this concludes my presentation. Please let me know if you have any questions. Thank you.
How much was defined within the data set? So, I mean, there's a big difference between like playing your job and playing your recreational sports.
Yeah, we try to separate sports from purely recreational activity. So sports is defined in the ATAS, in the exposure data set. It's like you play hockey, you biking, you are playing basketball. The typically things that we would define as sports. Yeah. Yes.
It seems like you're basically cooling variance between the exposure and the injury. So essentially, if you're going to calculate or compare these two to each other, or work the sport, cooking the sport, how sharp the sport, you'd essentially have to pool variance for each individual one, then you make your comparison, right?
No, we are not really pooling variance. For the numerator and the denominator, the mass scale is the rate itself is a quantity of interest. So, in short, we are not pooling variance. Yeah.
But you are taking information on the variance of the denominator and information on the variance of the numerator.
Yes.
When you're making your total variance.
Yes.
That individual rate.
Yes. I think you are.
We don't have to get it too deep.
Yeah.
But if you are,
yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
One last question.
I think we'll like to just show us five. Yeah. We gave that definition at the beginning for rate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the point I try to make. The two are very different measures, so there's nothing wrong using either of them, but we just need to be clear about what these measures are about.
Thank you very much.